Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm a homeschool father of five, raising our children out here in the eastern plains of Colorado during the demise of Western civilization, the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom. And family tend to break down as we take away the freedom for life, the right to life, and family breaks down when you start killing your kids. That should be obvious, Steve.
You would think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kill your kids, the family's not as good. Yeah,
structure's a little looser than it used to be.
Yeah.
So, and this is, I think, one reason why homeschoolers are pro-life.
Yeah.
Generally, people love their kids enough to disciple their kids at home. They pro-life. You got to have kids before you teach them.
Yeah.
You got to can't kill them. You kill them.
There's no
homeschool.
There's no homeschool. Yeah.
Yeah. So pro-life pretty basic to the homeschool movement in America, and pro-life basic to the Christian faith. I'm working on a book called Keep the Faith, Volume 2. This one's going to be more interesting even than the first one we did on keeping the faith in the education battle for the faith in the 21st century. Now, I'm hoping that every single one of our listeners has gotten that little hardback. Very potent stuff. In 90 pages, I talk about how to keep the faith when it comes to the next generation and the next generation, raising the next generation by maintaining a Christian view on discipleship and education. And it's critical that you understand the 2,000 years on a Christian perspective on education. It's also critical that we maintain a Christian perspective on family, abortion, sexuality, and feminism. And so I'm doing a 2,000-year review on what the church and what good Christian people, Orthodox Christian leaders, over 2,000 years have said. And believe it or not, all of them do not agree with Margaret Sanger.
Wow.
So I want you to picture all of the Christian leaders in history standing over here. Okay? And then Margaret Sanger standing over here on this other side. So Margaret Sanger is wrong. And by the way, so are 51% of American pastors and priests that confess themselves to be pro-abortion. They're all wrong, too.
Yeah, they believe in the one Margaret Sanger.
They do. They're standing with Maggie Sanger. And so please understand, friends, you've got 2,000 years of good, solid Christian backing for a pro-life position all the way back to the Didache and the Didascalia Apostolorum, all the way back to Barnabas, all the way back from the very beginning, all the way through Augustine, all the way through Chrysostom, all the way through Martin Luther, John Calvin, and on into the present day.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, since Mary was pregnant outside of wedlock, and she would have gotten an abortion.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what Margaret Sanger would have said.
Yeah. So,
but she didn't, but she wasn't there, thankfully.
Yeah, thankfully.
And Jesus Christ came and he paid for the sins of his people. And that includes those who repent of the sin of abortion.
That's
right. We need to remind people of that. Okay, so in the present day, we've got abortion, a major battleground today. And it is true we've made a little progress at the state level here and there across America, especially over the last couple of years, and we're thankful for that. But on the federal level, things are getting worse and worse and worse. And now we've got Emily Letts. So Emily Letts apparently is a representative of an abortion clinic, a Planned Parenthood clinic, the Cherry Hill Women's Center in New Jersey. She's an abortion counselor. She's 25 years old. And she did a video of her own abortion.
Wow. A lot different than a video of the birth.
And she's excited about it. She's excited about it.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, again, she's trying to be self-consistent. She's a counselor. She's telling people to get abortions. She's telling everybody it's a great, great deal. And so she's trying to put this brochure together. It's really hard to get a really good brochure, a real tender brochure about how wonderful it is to kill your kid. You know, any way you look at it, think about that. Think about being the graphic artist on that one.
Yeah. You know, that would be graphic.
That would be hard.
That would be hard.
How do you present that? Where would you put the dead body of the child on the brochure? As you're trying to sell for Cherry Hills Women's Center in New Jersey, you're trying to sell the whole abortion thing. It's just really hard to put a brochure together. Anyway, she tried to do that with this video. It's on YouTube, and it went viral. It's 1.7 million downloads. So it's pretty big. It's a pretty big deal. And it's freaking out even the pro-aborts. They're like, I wasn't really ready to be that self-consistent about killing my kids.
Yeah.
You know, but she's pushing self-consistency. And she, that's admirable.
Yeah, that is. I mean, at least she's consistent.
Mm-hmm. She's trying to be self-consistent. And more, the millennial generation is self-consistent on these things. So let's play Emily's abortion video. It's available on YouTube, and it's a sad deal. But I want to pull the worldview out of this, Steve, because I think that's what's most instructive about this video. Here's Emily.
Hi. I am a patient advocate at the Cherry Hill Women's Center.
I talk with women before their abortion procedures.
I found out that I am pregnant. Hey, I'm pregnant. And... Oh, I'm pretty early.
I'm not ready to have children.
Yeah, I'm going to be having an abortion tomorrow morning.
What I need you to do is bring up the back of your
gown. You notice right away she acknowledges the child.
Yeah.
She says, I'm not ready to have children.
Yeah.
So she acknowledges the child. And but she's really taking this lightly. From the beginning, she's very light about the whole thing. She's not in contact with what she's doing from the outset. She says, I feel super good about having an abortion.
Yeah, let that sink in just a bit. Super good.
Yeah. Okay, it goes on and on. She has her, she has her abortion.
It is about a month and a half after the procedure now. I feel like I talk to women all the time, and they're like, of course everyone feels bad about this. Of course everyone's going to feel guilty, as if it's a given how people should feel about this, that what they're doing is wrong. I don't feel like a bad person. I don't feel sad. I feel in awe of the fact that I can make a baby. I can make a life. I knew that what I was going to do was right, because it was right for me.
Okay, there it is.
Wow.
That's it.
Wow.
That's the postmodern worldview. That's
baby
pretty much it.
And a life. Did you hear those words?
I am sovereign over making babies. I am sovereign. If that baby will be made, it will be my decision. I am the source of reality. I am the creator of reality. Number one. Number two, I am the source of ethics. It is right because I said it was right. Because I determined my own ethics. Steve, I don't think I've ever heard anything summarized that well from the side of the left. This is a humanist worldview to the core, to the very core. She says, I'm happy about this. I have discovered that I can make a baby if I want to. And I can not make a baby if I don't want to. If I want to kill a baby, I will kill the baby. If I want to let the baby live, I'll let the baby live. I am in the position of power over life and death. I can make these decisions. And ultimately, I am the source of all ethics. I will determine what is right and what is wrong. That, my friends, is humanism. And she is more self-consistent than I think I've ever heard anybody who is aborting their kids, who is engaging in the most decadent sexuality possible. And all of this is rooted in the idea that man determines his own existence. Man determines his own ethics. This is John Paul Sartre. This is Friedrich Nietzsche.
This is Genesis 3.
Yeah, it is. I will determine good and evil for myself.
I will be as God. That's it.
Exactly. You know, ideas count. The ideas that these young people have received in public schools and the universities over the last 50 years, 60 years, 80 years, thanks to John Dewey, the great pragmatist, who is the father of pragmatism, will do whatever we think is going to accomplish what we want. We are pragmatic, and there is no basics. There is no basis for ethics but for what we have determined we want. Or John Paul Sartre, there is no human nature since there is no God to conceive it. Not only is man what he conceives himself to be, but he is also only what he wills himself to be after this thrust towards existence. That's John Paul Sartre, the great existentialist, and of course, hell is other people, because I make decisions for what I want, and my decisions will direct the future of anybody else, and nobody else will bind me in any way. John Paul Sartre being the father of the pro-choice movement. He said choice determines existence or precedes existence. And Sartre gladly admitted that everything is possible if God does not exist. And he was okay with that. And I talk about this in my book Apostate. Be sure to get my book Apostate to understand the horror, the utter horror of humanism, and humanism self-consciously, self-consistently lived out, as we see in the life of Emily Litz. Dostoevsky, of course, was a little skittish about everything being possible if God didn't exist, but not Sartre and not Emily Letts. At this point, everything is possible. Yeah. Everything is possible. And I'm surprised she didn't eat the fetus.
Yeah.
I'm surprised she didn't consume it as a means of giving herself more power, more energy.
Yeah.
Sure. Sure. Obviously, eating the liver and things like that has always been considered a very empowering thing on the part of pagans. And I'm surprised Emily Letts didn't eat the child after the abortion. Friends, this is the millennial. You contrast this with the silent scream. You know, back in the 1970s and 80s, people were kind of skittish about videos where a child is being hacked to pieces in its mother's womb. They were skittish about that. Remember, you had the baby screaming. Now, the millennials, they watch it and they say, hey, the baby scream. That's pretty cool. Poke it again.
Yeah.
Watch it scream. I want to see it scream again. In fact, can you get a microphone in there so we can hear it scream? That's the millennials. There's no conscience left, Steve. You understand? There's no conscience left. It's gone. Now it's, yes, we murder and we eat the fetus and we're happy about that.
Yeah, and she didn't even call it a fetus. I mean, they tried to cover it up for years saying that this is not a baby. I remember going to college in bioethics that we were taught back in my college days, back in the 1900s. If you abort a baby at the very beginning, first trimester is like pulling a weed. Second trimester is like killing a puppy. And third trimester, it's getting a little dicey. So really, third trimester, you should have made that decision by now. But now, she said, I can make a baby. I can make a life. I can take the life because I said so.
Remember Ray Comfort did the video 180, and he referred to abortion there, but he went and interviewed all these millennials, these young people, somewhere in California, not sure where it was, but interviewed all these guys, and he said, what do you think about the Jews, about killing the Jews, and what if the gun was put to your head and you had the opportunity to kill these Jews, or someone would kill you, what would you do? And the vast majority of them, as I recall, would say, I'd shoot him through the head.
Yeah.
Killing Jews? Yeah. Yeah, bring it on.
Yeah, they would try to justify it and say, they'd say, well, if I'm dead, I couldn't help anybody.
Yeah. Big pragmatist,
yeah.
They've been taught well in the public schools.
Yeah.
Now, see, we've created, I think, a horrible situation. We need to be face-to-face with this issue, Steve. I think everybody listening has to understand what you're dealing with out there. The millennial generation has jettisoned absolutes. It's gone. It is gone. Barna found only 0.5% of mosaics believe in absolutes. 99.5% of young people attending American churches, walking American streets, going to American colleges, 99.5% of them would shoot a Jew in the head if they had the opportunity or they're forced to do it by somebody else. Why? Because they don't believe in absolutes. They've lost a concept of absolutes. That's what makes this world so dangerous, my friends. That's what makes it dangerous, because the worldview foundation under the average millennial attending the average public school in America does not believe in absolutes. He's been told so many times he's cosmic dust floating around the universe of pure chance. He's just cosmic dust, and who cares what one piece of cosmic dust does to another piece of cosmic dust. He's been told that enough times that he's ready. He is ready to kill Jews, Christians. He's ready for whatever comes. Why? Because it's like whatever, man. That's where we are today, Steve. This is the cold, hard facts of the day.
Yeah, you take it to its logical conclusion, guys, that, you know, if they're okay with killing their babies and they're okay with killing the Jews, you might be next. And it's not even a forced thing anymore. You take this to the logical conclusion, okay, granted in 180 with Ray Comfort, they were being forced into this. So if they had a gun to your head and said, you've got to kill these Jews or die, Emily Letts is now, I don't even have a gun to my head. I made the baby. I'll kill the baby. And you guys are next.
Now, Ray Comfort points out the fact he was able to convince them otherwise inside of 60 minutes. They had the 180. They went from pro-abortion to pro-life inside of 5 minutes. But, Steve,
five more minutes,
the postmoderns are going to go to the next thing. Yeah, and the next thing and the next thing. Because, friends, they've given up on absolutes. That's the problem. The problem is not whether they're pro-life or pro-abort right now and whether they will be 5 minutes from now or 10 minutes from now. The problem is they've given up on absolutes. That's That's their bottom line orthodoxic belief. That's what makes their system of thought. That's what constitutes the worldview of the average kid attending the average American church. And that's why Matthew Vines and Jars of Clay are moving towards neurotic weddings.
Amy
homosexual
Grant.
Weddings. Yeah. Yeah. That's why. Because yeah. Fundamentally, they've given up. They've given up on the possibility of absolutes. They have the postmodern worldview down straight, which ultimately comes from Friedrich Nietzsche and Jean-Paul Sartre. I talk about these guys. These are the idea guys that have tremendous influence. Nephilim, gigantic influence upon the modern world. You've got to read the book, man. Apostate, the men who destroyed the Christian West. Nietzsche endorsed, quote, severity, violence, slavery, danger in the streets and in the heart, secrecy, stoicism, the tempter's art, devilry of every kind, everything wicked, terrible, tyrannical, predatory, and serpentine. His words.
Wow.
That's what's good. He says, that's what's good. And Emily Letts gets it.
Oh, yeah.
She gets Nietzsche. Nietzsche condemned all pity, generosity, patience, industry, humility, and friendliness. That's Friedrich Nietzsche. And that,
Emily
of course,
Letts.
And that's, of course, the father of modern psychology.
Yeah.
In case anybody's wondering. If you want to know how these ideas came about and why they are destroying our world, get my book Apostate on our website. And by the way, you can get it for half price if you buy the book. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swan from the program is Generations.
How's that commercial coming along?
All right, guys.
Well, we're about ready to record it right now.
Okay. So, how's it go again?
Let's see. It's Whole Family's Welcome, and there's Sing Sing, Something Something, 94 Talks, lots of vendors, Sing Sing, Talk 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 Sing, and then the big finish, Rocky Mountain Super Conference on the Family.
Wow. Let's hear it.
All right, quiet on the set. Here we go.
Whole Family's Welcome, Sing Sing, Something Something, 94 Talks and lots of vendors, Sing Sing. Talk, 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 sing.
All right, here's the big finish.
Rocky Mountain Super Conference on the Family.
Wow, it's just like you said.
Hey, glad you liked it.
When is it?
June 12th through 14th.
And where do you go to sign up?
It says check.org. That's check.org.
Thanks. I think I'm going to go sign up.
Back on the Generations Radio broadcast, it's a brave new world out there. Wow, things are changing rapidly. A real abortion, apparently filmed by Emily Letts, and it's her own abortion, and it's all over the internet right now. Steve, here's a summary of all the pro-infanticide documents in the official medical journals out there today. You think this brave new world is not going to move ahead to other strange things? We're Belgium already, something like half of Belgium nurses have witnessed some form of euthanasia or infanticide. But here, the Journal of Medical Ethics talks about afterbirth abortion, why should the baby live? Fetuses and newborns do not have the same moral status as actual persons. This is, again, the article. The authors argue that what we call afterbirth abortion, killing a newborn, should be permissible in all the cases where abortion is, including cases where the newborn is not disabled. The Journal of Medical Ethics has an article called Afterbirth Abortion, Why the Baby Should Live. Why should the baby live? New York Times has an article, Why They Kill Their Newborns, a three-page article advocating decriminalized infanticide, and it's written by MIT's Steven Pinker. Another article, Philosophy and Public Affairs, Abortion and Infanticide. Here's a quote from the University of Colorado professor Michael Tooley. It will be seen that this condition is not satisfied by human fetuses and infants, and thus that they do not have a right to live. Discover Magazine, The Evolution of Infanticide. Infanticide is thus at one extreme in a spectrum of parental care. One extreme. I would say that is an extreme.
Yeah.
Or lack thereof.
The extreme.
The extreme of lack or lack thereof of parental care. Anyway, lots and lots of instances here. I could give you more. But infanticide perhaps coming quickly. Now, let's talk a little bit about the powers behind the implementation of this brave new world. And here's an article that comes from FoxNews.com as of yesterday. Warren Buffett has apparently given $1.2 billion to abortion groups. Did you know that?
Wow.
Warren Buffett. And I'm going to tell you why in just a moment. Warren Buffett patterns the story of apostasy that I present in my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. If you haven't read the story, I mean, this will knock your socks off. You will be so incredibly shocked as to how the apostasy develops and how we develop a brave new world in which 2 billion children have been murdered since 1950 worldwide. It's 27% of the world population, or 29% of the world population, murdered over the last 50 years. If you want to know why, if anyone's curious, wow, that's a lot of bloodshed. Like 2 billion people, that's like more people than killed in the history of the world. Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Yeah. More people killed in the history than in the whole history of the world have been killed since 1950. So if you want to know why so many people have been killed, you need to read my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. Warren Buffett's at the front of the pack on this one. He's from Kansas, isn't he?
I don't know.
I think he's from Kansas.
Okay.
May 13th, 2014 marks 1 year since Philadelphia abortion doctor Kermit Gosnell was convicted of first-degree murder and the deaths of three babies who were delivered alive and then killed with scissors at his grimy House of Horrors clinic. According to the Associated Press, Gosnell instantly became the face of abortion in the pro-life community, but there's another face, more recognizable, pushing abortion in the United States. Liberal billionaire Warren Buffett, the so-called Oracle of Omaha. Oh, wait, that's Nebraska.
Yeah.
The Oracle of Omaha has donated more than $1.2 billion to abortion organizations from 2001 to 2012.
Wow.
So who's keeping this thing alive? And by the way, that's more money than Planned Parenthood is getting from Title X funding on an annual basis. That's way more.
Yeah, way more.
That's like what they get over a number of years, like 4 or 5 years or something.
Yeah.
So Warren Buffett is out there. He's probably more influential than the United States federal government in encouraging abortion in America. According to this article, that's equal to the cost of 2.7 million abortions. This man has effectively killed 2.7 million Americans.
Wow.
Now, how many people did Adolf Hitler kill?
6 million.
6 million. Okay, so he's halfway there.
Yeah.
He's halfway there.
Yeah, and then Stalin starved a bunch of million.
So Warren Buffett may arguably become worse than Adolf Hitler over, say, the next 10 years. It'd take another 10 years at this rate.
Yeah.
At this rate, Warren Buffett could be the next Adolf Hitler.
Only
having killed 6 million people in America. Now he funds them.
Yeah, he doesn't do it himself.
Yeah, but I mean, come on, guys. It's like, it reminds me of the mob. You know, they fund a mob killing. It's like, who's responsible here?
Right.
Wow. Unlike Gosnell, everything Buffett has done has been entirely legal. But Buffett does share something else in common with the abortionists. Both their stories have been largely unreported. Imagine the equivalent of the lives of 2.7 million children snuffed out to serve the whims of the third richest man in the world. Wow. Does that knock your socks off?
Yeah, it does. I'm speechless.
This man is crazy. But where did this man come from? Warren Buffett came from Howard Buffett. Did you know that? Howard Buffett was the Ron Paul of the 1940s and 1950s.
Wow.
Did you know that? He was a conservative. He was a friend of Murray Rothbard. He invariably drew zero ratings from the Americans for Democratic Action and other leftist groups. Buffett was a vocal critic of the Truman Doctrine and the Marshall Plan. Of the Truman Doctrine, he said, "Our Christian ideals cannot be exported to other lands by dollars and guns." Buffett was one of the major voices in Congress opposed to the Korean adventure, etc., etc. Speaking on the floor of Congress, he said, "Even if it were desirable, America is not strong enough to police the world by military force." It's sort of like Ron Paul. "If that attempt is made, the blessings of liberty will be replaced by coercion and tyranny at home. Our Christian ideals cannot be exported to other lands by dollars and guns. Persuasion and example are the methods taught by the carpenter of Nazareth, and if we believe in Christianity, we should try to advance our ideals by his methods." He was opposed to violence of all sorts. And my understanding, that included abortion. He was a Christian conservative in the 1940s and 1950s. Here's a Forbes article from November 29th, 2012. Warren Buffett is the son of Howard Buffett, the Ron Paul of the World War II generation. Howard Buffett ran for Congress in 1942 as a harsh critic of the New Deal. Surprisingly, he won. He gave away a lot of things. He was a conservative Christian, a member of a conservative Presbyterian church. Now, as it turns out, Howard's wife, Warren's mother, Leela Stahl Buffett, she agreed with her husband's views on both the spiritual and the political. However, she was apparently emotionally, viciously emotionally abusive to Warren and perhaps mentally unstable herself. And Warren was not protected or shepherded by his own father. Eventually, Warren met someone who would protect him. Susan Thompson was a friend of Warren's sister and a kind of proto-hippie beatnik. Susan was in full revolt against her own father, a very conservative Christian minister. So again, this is exactly what I write in my book, Apostate. This is Hemingway. This is Karl Marx. This is John Paul Sartre, who comes from seven generations of Protestant ministers. The monsters, the utter monsters of the 19th century and 20th centuries came from very rich Christian roots. The worst possible people on planet Earth have come from Christian roots. They were apostates. Both Warren and Susan, this is back to the Forbes article, both Warren and Susan remained interested in nuclear freeze for decades, as well as population control and its direct offspring, abortion rights. These remained a lifelong passion, even an obsession for both, and has been heavily funded by their foundation. They also made their ideological pilgrimage through the chic ideological and spiritual shrines of the time, the New Age movement, but the consistent cause was always abortion, and not just the right to abortion, but abortion itself. There are many who will fund groups which will advocate laws which keep abortion right, but few which are willing, as the Buffett Foundation, to support abortion as they have enthusiastically over the last 15 years, 20 years, 25 years. And as I said, friends, they have contributed $1.2 billion to abortion groups over the last 10 years and have been responsible for the slaying, for the massacre of 2.7 million children in America. And it all started with the breakdown of a father-son relationship and a mother-son relationship and a father-daughter relationship. They come from Christian conservative homes. That's what makes our homes so fragile, Steve.
Yeah.
So fragile. This is a father's worst nightmare. This is a mother's worst nightmare. Apostasy. And you can read the whole story in my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. God have mercy on us. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. The ideas, the relationships that break down ultimately lead to the world we see around us. You see, relationships are as important as ideas. And Steve, I think that's the theme of this program. It's the theme of my book. You can't separate these things. Well, folks, you can interact with this program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. Get your copy of Apostate at our website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down the vision for the next generation.